a discussion of the Gosley Creek planning area. If you recall, we actually authorized via contract to perform the study back in January of this year. With me today, I have Mr. Dennis Hassan and Mr. Will Hintz of Whitman Reckwart and Associates. We did provide a copy of the presentation in your package. However, Will's also has hard copies that he's going to distribute. Just, you know, refresher, so to speak, the Gosley Creek area is a portion of our Inland Bays planning area, and it's an area that's starting to receive development pressure. Ironically, that pressure is coming from both private development and some public agencies, and we'll touch on that in the study. We are attempting to be proactive and install sewer infrastructure early rather than wait for the area to be burdened with on-site septic systems and go in and replace the septic systems. The installed infrastructure will also benefit the West Rehoboth Sewer District, and we also have two other communities that are outside the area that have existing on-site community septic systems. Those communities are Chapel Green and Oak Crest Farms, and perhaps we have somebody here from Chapel Green, okay, that just has some interest in the project. We received a 50% matching grant from the Water Infrastructure Advisory Council in the amount of $83,607.50 to help finance the work. And the results of the study will lead us to the two design contract items that are also on the agenda. And at this point, I'm going to turn it over to Mr. Hassan, and they have a PowerPoint presentation.
Thank you, Mike. I'd like to thank members of council for the opportunity to make our presentation here this morning. Again, my name is Dennis Hassan. With me to my right is Will Hintz. You know, Will and I have worked hand in hand on this assignment. By way of introduction, you'll remember that we were back in front of you back in January of this year to kick off the Gosley Creek planning area. So in essence, what we'd like to talk about today is a quick review of what we talked about back in January, and then also where we ended up. And you know, I'm going to cover the first part, and then Will's going to cover the findings of our planning study. As a point of reference, we are talking about the Inland Bays planning area. Up to the north, and in that planning area, there are existing sanitary sewer districts, the West Rehoboth expansion of Dewey Beach, Henlopen Acres, Dewey Beach, and Long Neck were there. Recently, we brought on some additional sanitary sewer districts, which have been Angola Neck and then Oak Orchard. Specific to the planning area is the Gosley Creek planning area, which lies in that Inland Bays planning area. And again, as Mike said, getting some interest from priority projects that are listed here for service. So our overall goal was to determine how we provide service to these communities in the Inland Bays planning area. And again, the major priority projects are listed here. I'm not going to read down all the names, but you can see the projects that are listed in the presentation here. Mm-hmm. In addition to that, there were also a couple areas that we determined special study areas. These were areas that actually had their own collection, conveyance, and treatment systems. And again, part of our charge here for this study was to look at how these could be served with the infrastructure we were proposing as part of this plan. So again, as by way of review, we are going to review options, provide wastewater transmission and treatment for the entire service area. Again, with our key infrastructure there being the Wolf Neck treatment facility to the north, Inland Bays to the south, and then pumping station 210 is a major infrastructure component of our study.
Are you saying to increase at Wolf Neck?
Wolf Neck, we're going to look at treatment capacity at Wolf Neck.
Yeah, I thought we were at the top pretty much.
Well, as far as the treatment capacity at Wolf Neck, that's a correct statement. Mm-hmm. So in essence, what we're looking at is, you know, what capacity we have available, Wolf Neck, what's the capacity we have at Inland Bays, mm-hmm. and then how to make use of both of those facilities to maximize their treatment potential. Mm. In addition, we needed to look at a regional pumping station and the route of that regional force main to the Inland Bays wastewater treatment plant. And the most important part of this was develop a phasing plan for the priority projects, determine who there was interest from, how they would be brought in to the overall plan to serve the entire area. Again, I just mentioned the special projects. And again, an important point of this, Will's going to touch on here briefly, is to look at how this regional force main of the inland bays could be shared by the various entities in the planning area. And then finally, I determined the impacts of the wastewater treatment plant located in inland bays. So with that, we're going to turn it over to Will, who's going to go over the actual infrastructure layouts. Will?
Thanks, Dennis. Essentially, what we initially had to do is we had to take a look at the entire Gosley Creek planning area and basically lay out a roadmap for the future. Essentially, this is a planning area. We received requests from certain developments within that planning area, but we have to develop a system that's going to be able to be, you know, expanded upon in the future as the county gets additional requests for service. So essentially what we did is we took the planning area and developed drainage basins, developed where we thought we were going to need pump stations and force mains, and we located the regional pump station right here in Cedar Grove Road. Essentially, it's located to essentially provide the greatest amount of gravity service to the entire service area. It's the most optimal location for that pump station. And then essentially all the individual sub-drainage areas then have individual pump stations, which then pump into the main regional station, which is all collected and then sent to inland bays for treatment. But this is the final. As far as the initial priority projects, Coastal Club, the campgrounds, and all the others, essentially we can't afford to build all that infrastructure at once. So we have to develop a phasing plan where essentially we would develop and install pump stations. For example, there's a pump station associated up here with Coastal Club that would then pump into the main gravity service line that goes to the pump station. And essentially that's a similar scenario for the main areas, where each of these areas have individual pump stations that pump to the regional pump station that go to the regional system.
How far away is the inland bays from that pump station?
So that inland bays from that pump station, I believe, is about 43,000 feet.
I have it in my folder.
Give me a second, I'll pull that up. I have it.
Although not the main focus, as was pointed out before, Wolf Neck is capacity limited, so essentially the inland bays is the next location as far as treatment capacity. The existing treatment capacity of that is around 2 MGD of treatment capacity, 2.5 MGD of treatment disposal capacity, and right now the initial flows are under 1 MGD. So there is some available excess capacity at inland bays to start receiving flows from this area.
And I think by the calls that I'm getting from the developers who would like to have that right now, I think we would pick up a lot more as we in that line. In my imagination, I think we would pick up a lot more developments to come. It just looks like to me.
And that's one of the things. Essentially, this is just kind of a list of how we're planning on bringing each of the individual existing priority projects into the system. For example, the school and Troop 7 Saddle Ridge, they would all have an individual pump station force main that, again, conveys flows to the regional. This is kind of like the regional backbone here, main regional station, main regional gravity. You want to put in gravity if you can, because the most long-term is the best for the county, but there's only so much you can put in initially. So essentially the other ones that we have here, Red Clover Walk, again, initially we're actually proposing an interim connection to the north. I believe they've received immediate requests for that project, Mike, as far as Red Clover Walk.
Red Clover Walk is very interesting, connecting immediately, yes.
and the same with Coastal Club. In other words, there's a certain amount of limited interim capacity available, but long term, it can't be sent through the West Rehoboth system to Wolf Neck. So essentially, the long term program is this area is collected to the regional station, and then a regional force main is constructed from Pump Station 210 to Inland Bays, and essentially then that is obviously going to have pump upgrades and stuff to allow it to pump to Inland Bays.
That regional station is not going to be. Can you describe it to me a little bit?
It's going to be in the same footprint as the existing station.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So there's not going to be any additional permanent land acquisition for existing Pump Station 210. As far as the special project areas, Oakcrest Farms and Chapel Green, when we took a look at it, essentially the most cost-effective way to serve these properties would essentially be to upgrade. They have existing pump stations at the sites, but we would need to upgrade those stations and install some force mains to essentially connect into the regional force main system that's going in, but it's kind of what you were saying as far as a connection point for those two existing developments to connect into that regional line.
And I need to add something in here, just so you understand the status of these two communities. They both have just basically community septic systems, and they're permitted through 2016. However, DENREC has informed the communities that they need to go to some level of treatment that's beyond just a septic system by 2021. So they either need to build a wastewater treatment plant to serve their individual communities, or they have approached us about some sort of joint project. And that's why we investigated these two communities or evaluated these two communities as part of this process.
Would that be
part of it? We have a representative from Chapel Green here, and I think she's very interested.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it would be practical then for us to do that, do you believe?
We put together a construction cost as part of this project, but I have not sat down with Mrs. Jennings or anyone else to actually compile rates.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But the costs are not terrible.
I know they've been very concerned about this for a number of years. This has been a real problem for them. So.
Mm-hmm. Will it pay for itself? Is it going to pay for itself, or is the county going to have to sponsor this?
Well, whenever we build infrastructure, we have to arrange some sort of financing up front, but the idea is that the existing customers and the growth of the sewer district itself will reimburse the original investment, and that's the way we would make this arrangement.
We're going to eventually get our money back? Is that what you're saying?
I think we always have gotten our money back.
We always have.
We always have.
That area is really
good
growing.
Good to ask. I didn't say you haven't. I'm just asking.
Yeah. Good to have that on
the
record.
I hope it's not an embarrassing question.
So that was essentially the two special project areas. The connection into the regional force main was the recommended alternative to serve that. Because essentially, again, it doesn't make sense to pump back north to the regional and then pump south again. You connect into it, pumping at a shorter distance. So in general, Pump Station 210, essentially the other component of this is Pump Station 207, which you may have heard of before for the county. Essentially, we would provide a regional force main from Pump Station 210 down to Inland Bays, and then provide interconnection points for Pump Station 207, because there was capacity issues going north that we had to address, provide a connection point for the Gosling Creek Regional Station, and then a connection point for the Oakcrest Farms and Chapel Green. And one of the things that makes this beneficial from a cost standpoint is the cost of running a force main, as you know, is a lot of labor intensive. So whether you're running a 24-inch line or a 20-inch line, you can share the cost between the entities as opposed to running two individual lines down to the station. So this as a joint regional force main and is beneficial in that respect. So essentially, our current schedule for the project, we submitted a draft of the planning study in May to the county, and essentially they're reviewing that draft study and are providing comments. And at this point, we have the design amendments for Pump Station 210 and Gosley Creek. Essentially, we're at a point where we need to start design for those facilities in order to meet the intended goal of construction in 2000, construction being completed in 2016.
construction complete third, by the end of the third quarter 2016.
Yes.
And that takes us the 7.8 miles to the inland bays.
Correct.
We have we've always tried to plan ahead for our infrastructure installation so that we can accommodate growth. It's been one of the benefits of working here in Sussex County. It looks like we've kind of gotten behind a little bit here. But with the downturn in the economy, I guess it could be maybe expected with this unusual uptick in activity. Is there any other option as kind of a stopgap measure that we could employ within that study area to provide wastewater treatment for these projects so that they can move forward quickly and get people back to work?
I thought there was something, an interim kind of a plan, no?
Well, there was interim force main connections for Coastal Club and the smaller development. Again, they're limited. I'm not sure what the agreement is. Limited a certain number of...
I've limited Coastal Club to 200 ADUs.
Yeah, well, they can get started anyway. Yeah.
Red Clover Walk is very small anyway. It's only 28 ADUs, so it's not a big impact. I think what Mr. Phillips is asking is, like, is there a treatment plant existing that we could tie into rather than going to Inland Bay, but no.
Either ours or someone else's we could partner with in the interim?
No, there are no existing plants that we could connect to.
Are there other...
Well, you could go to the city of Lewis. We could contact Lewis.
Are you serious?
Well, I'm just, you know... I'm responding to Mr. Phillips' question. It would be the most viable option, but getting to the plant, not the easiest because downtown Lewis, but I believe they do have some additional capacity they could make available to us on a short-term basis.
Well,
that would be the best.
That.
If you're going to look at an alternative, that would be the best.
Well,
but you're discharging
coming,
into the canals.
So. Lewis is going to need that probably. They've got a lot
temporary.
Coming.
You just saying it's temporary.
Yeah, I know. Oh, okay.
Just temporary.
Okay.
Offering an opportunity if we wanted to chase something, that would be the
I understand.
Mr. Phillips?
Once we have our, did you say 24-inch main going to Inland Bay, could that potentially handle Rehoboth as an alternative?
Not at a 24-inch. Plus, you're talking untreated wastewater. Mm. And Rehoboth has their existing plant. Even if they re-divert, even if they don't go forward with the ocean outfall, they're not going to take their plant offline. So they would be pumping treated wastewater. So obviously, you couldn't intermingle the two.
It'd just dilute it, wouldn't it?
Well, you'd have to treat it again. So you're all of a sudden, you know, Rehoboth's treating it, then you mix it with wastewater and you got to retreat it. So there's no cost efficiency there.
But it would be an alternative to putting it in our pristine oceans.
Well, I guess I'm one to believe there's no perfect solution for the disposal of wastewater, whether you put it in the ocean or you spray it on the ground. You're impacting our groundwater that we drink.
Not if we have vegetation taking up the nutrients as is required by law.
Yeah, but it only takes up a portion of the nutrients, and it just uptakes the nitrogen and the phosphorus.
And it
I'm
is.
I'm not sure the pharmaceuticals and the metal.
Dennis, could you help me out with that?
Well, this probably isn't the
It's
place.
Not a perfect solution to spray on the ground or discharge in the canal or discharge. But I always say this. The disposal is the clean water. We get so hung up on, and I'm getting on my soapbox here, but we get so hung up about the ocean outfall into the ocean, for example. That's the clean water. We should be asking more about, well, what are we doing about the contaminants that we remove from the wastewater, which is in the sludge, and where is that sludge going, and how are we treating that? That's really a much more fundamental question that we need to...
We've got $1 billion tourist industry dependent on that ocean, and the idea that we are using it for our wastewater effluent is something that is a ticking time bomb, in my opinion.
But we're already doing it at South Coastal, where we treat Bethany, Fenwick,
everything.
North Bethany, South Bethany,
Selbyville.
Ocean City, Selbyville does the same.
Delaware State Senator told me he went out there and found the brown fluid coming out. I believe it's a
you can see, it's physically visible what we're pumping into the ocean in our chlorine contact tank. And it's clear and clean and looks like pool water, Rodney, from, yeah.
So. And Rehoboth is, I'll guarantee you, Vance, Rehoboth is very sensitive to the concerns of the tourism business and what they want to do. And I think, I'm sure they've researched it. And,
huge mistake.
And
because mistakes happen at the treatment plant. Sometimes mistakes happen at the treatment plant, and there has to be
absolutely we
a
get
flow
super
of untreated or lower treated product right out into.
You might miss your standard because the standards are so high for ocean outfall. You get a super storm, Sandy, and the whole system gets inundated. But again, that's going to help happen with land application too. Where
miles away from any body of water.
Well, is there anything today here that would keep us from being able to work with Rehoboth in the future if they decide?
But
is there anything here
we
that
are,
prevents
inch,
that?
We are the
36-inch pipe going from Gaza, going from this area
asking
to the Inland Bay to plan for the potential
possible
of Rehoboth's affluent.
We are a minority owner, so to speak, of you know, Rehoboth's system.
Right.
We contribute 40% of the flow. So we contribute 40% of the money for any capital improvement. However, we have 40% of the vote of the decision. So,
and I know
it's
Mike,
not an
we
easy.
Have had votes here. We have had.
Yes, we have
votes here. The sense of the council that said we don't want ocean outfall, but as it goes through the process, it ends up coming back ocean outfall. I don't know why we vote if it's just going to be ignored.
Maybe I've missed something here.
Yes.
Is this what we're talking about, this Gosley Creek is going to the ocean?
No, we kind of went off on a tangent there.
Mr. President, we're talking about the potential of increasing the capacity for
the biggest issue of just increasing the capacity of the pipeline is there's, you have to have a minimum flow in that pipeline. So you could say I could put a 48-inch pipeline there, but you have to pump a certain amount through that, else everything's just going to settle out. So there is some...
Can't over...
Right, just the 24
overdo
inches.
Overdo it. Won't work.
What we chose is 24 inch was a happy medium as far as what we think the capacity is going to be required versus what's maintainable. You know, again, obviously you could consider a larger pipeline if you have a guarantee of flow being there.
Well, have we had inquiries from Rehoboth that they want to change course?
I meet with them on a pretty regular basis. Uh-huh. They're just waiting. Right now, the status is they have performed all their environmental studies. The DENREC staff has recommended the ocean outfall. However, you know, the actual document has been sitting on the secretary's desk for about a year and a half. He did not sign off on it.
I know.
Now that secretary has left, and we have a new secretary up there, and he's not made it clear what his point of view is.
That should tell you something. That should tell you something.
What?
If the secretary of Department of Natural Resources will not sign off on ocean outfall for a year and a half, he has some concerns. He has some legitimate concerns.
But we sure can't tell Rehoboth they got to come to us, can't we?
We can offer
them to pay for a bigger pipe.
We went all through that before.
We can offer an option.
Well, it was asked on. Excuse me. It was asked on this council today.
Mm-hmm.
What is a WIF? Or what is the back? What is the bad part about land dumping, putting land spraying on land? What is it? What is it?
It's the.
You know
it's,
what it is?
It's. I'll tell you, as somebody who's been doing it for 20 years, it's so weather dependent. We're so tied into the weather patterns, and last year was a really tough year for us because it was wet starting in the spring through the summer. And summers went right now is when we're maxing out how much we can spray on our spray fields. And last year was so wet that we had great difficulty because I need to go into the end of fall, winter season, having all our lagoons empty because there's so many cold days or windy days or frozen days when we can't spray. And that flow just keeps coming, even though it's not our peak season.
Mm-hmm.
And we really, really struggled last year. Because of the wet pattern that we had. So, and it's so hard, like, again, with a pipeline, I can tell you exactly how much you can pump out that pipeline, but when it comes to spraying on the ground,
mm-hmm.
it's our soils are so different from here to 200 yards away, so it's hard to get a finite number that we can actually spray on every site. But we make it work. We make it work, but it's tough.
Let's get back to the issue at hand.
Excuse me. So state law says that we're not allowed to puddle water, spray water, right?
Yes, I disagree with that, but that's true.
And so I've been here 6 years, and I'll be honest with you, Mike, I don't believe we've missed a year and we haven't puddled water out there.
I agree.
And so we're really, if you really want to get down to law and doing what's right, I don't know if we can put in more to this inland bays. I don't know if we aren't ready to load it.
Well, we have.
We either buy a new tract of land.
We got plenty of land.
And we own plenty of land.
We need to buy some more land, or we need to clear up what we got and put in more spaces. When I came aboard here, it wasn't but two operating, and they was flooded. We're up to, what, five or six now, and one on the inland bays, I think. And so, and we're still got plenty, and we're still got plenty of water. So I don't know if we can, this is all the answer to saying, well, just pump more water here. It'll take care of it. It won't, because if you want to stay legal, you can't puddle water, and we're puddling water. I've made it public here to be known. Now, I've never said it before, but we are illegal, really. We're illegal.
We work with the staff at Denrec, and they understand as long as it doesn't leave the area of the spray circle, it's going to perk in the ground.
Then we just might pump it out there in a pond somewhere and say it's
part of the problem is the first two spray circles we put in were back in 1989, and we just went out there and hacked down the, 200 acres of trees. Mm-hmm. And started spraying on it. We've become more, now that we've done it for 20 years, we've become more sophisticated, and we've figured out what soils we can spray on and which soils we have to avoid. And again, Mr. Marvel is very key. He's come up with the capability. We used to just have a rig that went around in a circle. We now have the ability to, like a windshield wiper, so to speak, turn the spray off or even control certain legs where we're not spraying the entire length of a leg over a certain area of soil. So we've become more sophisticated about how we lay out the irrigation rigs and about how we operate and maintain them. And I think that's going to avoid the puddling problems. Plus, we only occupy about 500 acres out there, probably not even that. And we have another 1,700 acres that we own.
Is there an ongoing land clearing effort so that we can prepare for the eventual need?
We're doing the soils evaluation as we speak to look at what would be the area that we want to extend to next.
I would encourage
Why don't we run pipes through the woods that we've already got that have been cut?
We can do that. That's one of the things you can look at is spraying on the woods, the forest, the pine, the timber, rather than spraying, clearing and spraying on crops. Your disposal capacity is probably cut in half. You can only spray about half via permit by spraying.
Right? I thought you'd probably do more with trees.
Yeah. But short term, it's a good idea. We have good timber there that's worth being harvested. So we could do some simple things, maybe to do some spray on the woods. And we're going to look at that too. That's a different exercise than what I'm here today to talk about.
Do we have a motion?
Well, I have a motion to approve the results of the Gosley Creek planning study. Let me find that first.
Because I have those developers calling me. I want to get on with it.
Be it moved based upon the recommendation of the County Engineering Department that the Sussex County Council hereby adopts the findings and recommendations of the Gosley Creek planning study.
Get it?
That's so the first motion.
I'll make that. We need that.
We have a motion, Mr. Cole. We have a second.
Deaver.
Mrs. Deaver. And what we're voting on is to approve this
planning study.
This document
study.
Right here.
This, yeah.
A planning study.
Study itself.
Yeah.
Study. That's correct. We'll take the vote, Mrs. Deaver.
Yes.
Mr. Cole.
Yes.
Mr. Cole.
I have some very serious concerns about this. I think that we have got to look at some short-term answers for these folks who are ready to go. I know you're talking about 200 for Gosley and 28 for another one, but when you consider how many projects there are, I hope you'll continue to look for other opportunities, be it within our system or partnering with one of the current utilities, Tidewater, or one of the others. But you've got a lot here that you've worked very hard on, and I will give you a yes vote to that.
Mr. Wilson.
Yes.
I will yes, motion carried.
Okay.
Next thing, so you got something else?
Next thing, yes. We need to move forward because of, again, our concerns about the impacts to the Wolfneck plant. We are recommending we move forward with the design of the pump station and force main 210. Even if we decided, you know, not to do pump anywhere, pump station 210 is 20 years old. It doesn't have an emergency bypass. Mr. Marvel is here. He can tell you he can't get into the wet well to do. Yeah, so we have a wet well that's 20 years old. So what we are recommending for the design to approve a design contract for pump station 210. The scope of work includes approximately 50,000 linear feet of sewer force main and the upgrade of the existing pump station 210. What we're going to do is we're going to split the pump station into two different wet wells. What's unique about this arrangement is that it will allow the pump station to pump in two separate directions. The main flow will continue to be pumped towards the Wolfneck plant, and a secondary flow will be directed towards the Inland Bays plant. For example, I would like to, on a wet year like we had last year with Wolfneck, I would like to hold the flow, daily flow, to about 1.8 MGD per day. And what we would do with the remaining flow is to pump it down to the Inland Bays plant. I think removing the stress on the soils that we spray on at the Inland Bays or at the Wolfneck plant will allow that plant to function more effectively. Again, while we divert the flow to the Inland Bays plant, it would be, I would like to have the pump station and force main online by the summer of 2016. I know our schedule looks like, makes it look like the end of the third quarter, but I would really like to have that pump station 210 upgrade performed so that we could come online perhaps by the beginning of the summer of 2016, somewhere in the middle of that third quarter, I guess is what I'm saying. A portion of the force main is going to be installed by our current pump station 207 project, which I opened bids on Wednesday for that. That's tomorrow. The estimated construction costs are about $14.1 million. And that's because we share the force main routing with the Gossett Creek Pump Regional Pump Station. We'll actually see a shared cost savings about $4.5 million between the two projects. And again, as I mentioned, regardless of where we pump to, we need to upgrade that pump station 210. So that would be a cost that we would incur anyway. As proposed by the Gossett Creek planning area, the pump station will be upgraded. In any case, I just said that, I'm repeating myself. The proposed design contract is $799,805. There is a value engineering component built in. One of the firms that was selected under our recent miscellaneous engineering consultant package that Mr. Wright brought forward last month will be selected, and the value engineering would be performed between the 60% and the 90% design stage. We get plans at 30%, comment on them, kick them back. We get them at 60%, review them, comment on them, kick them back. And I think that 60%, that's the good opportunity to do it. We're far enough into design that there are things that could be looked at and value engineered, but without having to go back and redesign.
Value engineered, you mean internally, we could do some of that work internally? What do
no,
you say?
What we would do is we would select or make use of one of the firms that Mr. Wright presented last month. We had about, I think it was eight firms that we selected.
We
would use one of those firms, have the 60% design plans in hand, hand them to the engineer and ask them to go through and say, hey, is there any way where the design could be improved but without reducing the value of the design? It's not meant to be a cost cutting where, you know, you save a few dollars, but you reduce the utility of the station or the life of the station. What you want to do is find a better design, so to speak, where the station and the forest main would still work as designed, but somehow there are some cost savings associated with that. Okay.
Could I ask
yes.
a conversation between the cost engineering firm and Whitman occur initially?
Up front?
Yes. With respect to the type of, I guess in this case, a pump station. It probably is going to play in a greater manner when you design a treatment facility. I know that when we did the inland bays, the cost savings that were suggested that amounted to $2 million had a radical redesign.
Yeah.
And you can never realize those savings at 60% into it. I really believe there should be a conversation, not a value engineer, but a conversation so that there is no lost opportunity.
Here's what we do. Whenever we start a new project, we have a kickoff meeting where we bring everybody in, all the stakeholders. For example, Rodney and his people participate.
Oh, right there.
But
will
we could also
engineer be at that one?
That's what I'm going to suggest. Usually, again, we bring them in at the 60%, but what we could do is bring them in as part of that kickoff process. And what you're asking is for them to be familiar with it, and then they would know what they're seeing at the 60% stage, or are you asking them to do some other role during the design process?
If there's no objection from council, I think that's an excellent suggestion.
Okay. All right.
It's acceptable to everyone to work as far as you're concerned? Is what you're saying? That'll work as far
yes,
as you're concerned?
Yes, yeah, there's no problem with that at all. It just means that we have to rather than contact the value engineering firm
later,
4 months from now, we contact them next week,
right. That
kind of thing. And I have a motion that I can read, and it actually I included the value engineering component.
Please read
in
your
it.
Motion, sir.
Be it moved based upon the recommendation of the Sussex County Engineering Department, the Sussex County Council President be authorized to execute a contract amendment with Whitman Recourt and Associates, LLP, for the North Coastal Planning Area for design of Pump Station 210 upgrade and force main, including a value engineering component at a cost not to exceed $799,806.
I'll make the motion.
Second, Ms. Deaver. Second, Mr. Cole. Questions on the motion? I'll take the vote, Mrs. Deaver.
Yes.
Mr. Cole.
Yes.
Mr. Phillips.
Yes, and I thank you for including the value engineering. And I know, Mr. President, you had a lot to do with seeing that through.
Wilson.
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried.
Okay. I'll bother you one more time. It's basically the same thing. We need to move forward, as Mrs. Deaver indicated. We have development pressure. We also have the public agencies, the state police, and our own paramedics even, who are looking for service in the Gosley Creek area. The scope of work would include the 4,700 linear feet of force main and the installation of 5,000 linear feet of gravity sewer. This will provide the backbone sewer infrastructure to accommodate the build-out of the planning area. The Gosley Creek force main will manifold into the pump station 210 force main, and that results in a savings of approximately $4.5 million for the Gosley Creek planning area. The estimated cost of the pump station force main and transmission sewer is $3,400,000, plus Gosley Creek would also pay a percentage of the force main installed by the pump station 210 project, and I have valued that at approximately $3 million. The cost of the design amendment is $255,534. And again, we would include the value engineering to be part of the process.
Question, is that part of this $14.1
million? The shared force main is a part of it. So of the $14.1 million, let's say approximately $3 million would be paid for by Gosley Creek. Okay? So the West Roba's share is $11.1 million. Gosley Creek's share is $3 million. And then we have this work for Gosley Creek is $3 million from the shared cost plus $3.4 million for this, the standalone pump station, force main. We're also going to put in some gravity sewer.
And that's going to be located.
Are those numbers in our packet?
Were those numbers in the presentation? Obviously, the design costs were included. I'm not sure if we have the actual construction cost included in the packet or not.
Yeah. I would ask that be included.
Okay. We can do that in the future. Be it moved that based upon the recommendation of the Sussex County Engineering Department that the Sussex County Council President be authorized to execute a contract amendment with Whitman Ruckwart and Associates LLP for the North Coastal Planning Area for design of the Gosley Creek Regional Pump Station upgrade in Forest Main, including a value engineering component at a cost not to exceed $255,534.
Pleasure, Council.
So moved.
Second.
Motion, Mr. Cole, second, Mrs. Deaver. Questions on the motion? Take the vote, Mrs. Deaver.
Yes.
Mr. Cole.
Yes.
Mr. Phillips.
Yes.
Mr. Wilson.
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried.
Thank you.
We're pretty busy, aren't we?
Yes.